And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transformative, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, ta-ta-da, the Book of Romans. It's a letter written by Paul, who was converted to Christianity about 23 years before he wrote the book, and about 10 to 12 years before he was martyred. The letter has been called the Constitution of the Bible because it explains the core doctrines of Christianity. The main theme of the book is that God judges sin and shows his saving mercy through the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that for those that miss it. The main theme of the book is that God judges sin and shows his saving mercy through the cross of Jesus Christ. The secondary theme is that Paul wants to unite Jewish and Gentile Christians in Rome so that they can share the gospel and glorify Jesus with one mind and one accord. Next, another important theme of the letter is that all the people are sinners and need God's righteousness, which is revealed and offered through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the new age of redemption began. Justification is by faith alone, and the power of the Holy Spirit is how we become the people that God wants us to be. So finally, to verify this truth, Paul makes sure that everybody knows that God powerfully raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. If we do not acknowledge the Trinity in this verse, we are deliberately denying the plain and clear truth. Paul concludes his instructions by saying that we have been given the privilege and the authority to tell people about the gospel everywhere, and that those who believe in Jesus bring glory to his name by having faith in Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Noive. So much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. Whether you're in San Diego or in Dallas, whether you're in Argentina or whether you're in Canada, doesn't matter to us. You can email us all during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us during the show. Yeah, it's okay. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, I should warn you, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Aww.
I'm going to tell you, that's nice, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm laughing at you giving a warning about calling in.
That's pretty funny. Guess what my favorite cheat meal was with my favorite person? My favorite person is my wife, Noelle. Nobody like her on all the planet. And we ate something we haven't had in about 2.5 years. Now, it wasn't the greatest, but because we hadn't had it in 2.5 years, it was kind of really great.
I'm not sure. I was thinking at first, like, maybe something we've discussed before, like pizza, tacos, but now you say 2.5 years. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Been a long time.
What is it?
Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
I love Eggs Benedict. Actually, the truth of the matter is I like Hotel Eggs Benedict, like, the most. But we went to a restaurant and both had Eggs Benedict.
It was so good. It was so good.
Because we hadn't had it. Is it the best Eggs Benedict I ever had? No. Was it good? Yes.
So I had a spaghetti last night for dinner. It was good.
Is that based on the questions that we asked because we were talking about SpaghettiOs?
No. That's funny. That is funny that we had a SpaghettiOs answer.
Yep, we had a SpaghettiOs answer. All right, let's get to it. So bottom line is if you've got a praise report or a prayer request, you can reach out to us. It's totally okay. We love it. You can call us. You can text us. You can email us. If you try to send us really cool vibes, that's awesome, but that ain't going to get anything done on the show. Just letting you know that ahead of time. We do have a trivia question. Let's see if you want to get into this. Which group did not believe in the resurrection? Is it the Essenes, Essenes, the Sadducees, or the Pharisees? The Essenes. There's like 9 ways to pronounce it, and I can't stand this word. Is it the Sadducees or the Pharisees that didn't believe in the resurrection? Let's just keep it simple, okay? Simply call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is calling in, so it's a pretty straightforward question. Which group did not believe in the resurrection? Is it the Sadducees or is it the Pharisees? Which of them did not believe in the resurrection? I think you guys should know this one. This is kind of an easy one. It's just to remind people that you're going to encounter people that don't believe in the resurrection, and that's sad, right? It is sad. Get it? All right, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Rodney.
Hi, Rodney. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I am doing great.
All right.
Now, I know this. I know it's not a toughy question, but I think people forget that when you're engaging with people, there is a group that actually think this way, which is kind of sad. So I'm going to give you that opportunity. Here we go. Which group did not believe in the resurrection? Is it the Pharisees or the Sadducees?
It's because they were sad, you see.
That is correct, Amanda! Therein lies my multiple, it's sad, it's sad, it's sad. Because it's like, dude, you don't believe in a resurrection. So you're like a television. You go on, you played, then you run out of your tube, then you're off, and that's all you are. That's terrible.
Exactly. That's pretty sad.
That's so sad.
It's like the American standard diet. The standard American diet.
Yeah, standard American
S-A-D.
Diet. What is it?
SAD, the standard American diet.
Sad. How are you doing, brother? How are you doing? Are you praying anything?
I'm
You're
doing
good.
Like I said, I don't get to call in as much, but I am listening. I love the show, so it's great.
Great to hear that, bro. Appreciate it deeply, and appreciate your prayers, and appreciate you in general. So thank you for calling.
All right. You have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, excellent call by Ronnie. Great job. All right, let's get into our DNA. People are like, why do you do the DNA every day? I don't know. Why do you breathe every day? You like that? That's pretty straightforward, right? Boy, I'm on a roll today. You better watch out, man.
You think of that on the spot?
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, here we go. D for DNA stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Okay, I can't say this any different, okay? Every day that you breathe, spend time with God. Okay, there you go. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. The world is, listen to this, is so funny. They're mocking sports groups that lose because those sports groups are Christian groups and they're not the best athletes in some of those schools. Not all schools, just some of those schools. And they're mocking him saying that they're losing because they don't support the woke or LGBT communities. That's how dumb it gets. You see how stupid that is? You stand firm in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand by faith in the Word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Okay? And that's the N. So D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is a crucial element on the reflection of you engaging with God. So I just want to say, some people are, and they do say, it's like, well, after I got saved, why didn't the Lord just take me? Because you are supposed to be a mirror to Jesus Christ, and part of that mirroring is you reflecting Jesus to other people by serving other people, because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And when you take other people on in your life and add them, you then end up with more life for yourself. And you get people who end up praying for you. You're praying for them. It creates the community, and it fulfills what Jesus said. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. So be ready to serve. Say, Lord, I'm ready. Use me as you see fit. Get that? Got that? Okay. Okie dokie. I almost think we should have some Jaws-like music. We don't, but I almost think we should, just to a certain degree. Okay? Just because what we're
I can put it in after the show today.
Okay, yep. After the show, put in some Jaws music, because whenever we're doing Romans, we're going to play Jaws.
Gotcha.
Just seems like the right thing to do. Here we go, for those that are trying to figure out, you guys are crazy. Yeah, that might be true, but that doesn't change us from going to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God helps produce faith in our own lives. And oh, by the way, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him, Hebrews 11:6. So you want to please God, you have faith, and you want to have more faith, you get in the Word, and now we're in the Word, and we are in Romans chapter 1. So I want you to understand a couple things about this. There's not a ton of controversy, just always one person, you know, like 100 years ago who said, I don't believe it, which means nothing. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this roughly about 23 years after he became a Christian. So that tells you that this letter, which is one of the most pivotal letters, this is the letter that was used to start the Reformation. This is a very pivotal letter in the Christian history of all things. And in this letter, Paul was almost a quarter of a century before he wrote it, getting the idea that he's got a little bit better of a crystallization of the theology. Not that he doesn't have place to grow, not that he doesn't have place to mature. He tells you even in Philippians, he has not yet reached the place he needs to reach. So he tells you that. That's not even what's in question. But he is communicating core elements of faith. So this is written about 23 to 25 years after he gets saved, but about 10 to 12 years before he's martyred. So this is like kind of in between it all. And the key in this is understanding the main theme. And the main theme is so essential for you to grasp. You need to understand this theme when you're reading the whole of the book. And that is this: God judges sin. For everybody who thinks that you're, even as a Christian, you're getting away with things, no, you're not. For those people that are not Christians that are listening, you think you're going to get away with things? No, you're not. And you're not going to live your whole life and then in the last 3 or 4 minutes repent, and thereby God has to forgive you, because repentance is not always granted. Ask Esau, who sought repentance with tears and could not find it. You can't wait until the very end, because there might not be a very end. And God may give you no opportunity, which is why it says today, if you hear his voice, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, because there might not be a tomorrow. So the main theme is God judges sin, coupled with his saving mercy is available through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so if everybody wants to, you know, add to this and make this more complex, and that's great, that's cool, love it, understand, wrong. Okay? Simple as this. God judges sin. The only way to get away from that is through mercy that comes through Jesus Christ and through the redeeming life of Christ, or sacrificial life of Christ. Now, it's true that as you go through this letter, Paul is trying to unite the Jewish and Gentile Christians because there's friction, and he's trying to bring them together so that they can share the gospel jointly with one mind and one accord and thereby glorify Jesus Christ. But the main theme is this, and I don't want you to ever forget it. God judges sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died. You think, well, what do you mean? He lived another 900 and some odd years, whatever. He died spiritually on the spot. Nothing escapes the notice of God. But through Jesus Christ, there is the redemption opportunity to be found in mercy regarding your sins. And I just shared this with my friend Rob, and I told you guys this probably about a week ago, but you have to listen to this. The penalty for sin is death. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to skip it. I don't want you to forget about it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Every time you sin, you owe a death. You sin 200,000 plus times in a 60-year existence. You owe 200,000 deaths unless somebody redeems you. Okay? All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike... You know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. where we are forging ahead in the book of Romans. I hope you guys are ready for this because there's just a lot of material to cover. Plus, we do have a trivia question. We do have somebody online, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. We will check into that momentarily. But I do want you to be prepared, and I want to remind everybody that we do have a little bit of a different December schedule. So if you've not gone to the website, you need to go to the website so that you can see what that schedule is, because we not only have a Christmas schedule and a New Year's schedule, but we have a basketball game that's coming through, and in that basketball game, we are going to be preemptive, but we encourage you to watch the basketball game because it's SMU. And we love SMU, so that's a great connection for Crawford, okay? And then the other thing I do want to remind you of is please be praying for Don and for Jennifer and for not just Don and Jennifer, but as well for Jacob. Not easy doing a ministry and being a part of all these things and lots of spiritual warfare that everybody seems to go through. Okay? All right. So in lieu of that, because I'm not sure where we're at on that one yet, we are going to branch into the book of Romans. Although there's, is there anything I need to be aware of? Or are we okay? We okay? All right. We'll take care of that later. Let me get your next trivia question. See how we do that? We work together as a team. That's what we do. Okay? All right. Here you go. Here's your trivia question. What did Jesus eat before his perplexed disciples? We just did this last week. What did Jesus eat before his perplexed disciples? Was it cereal, bread, or fish and honeycomb? According to Luke chapter 24, verse 42 and 43, what did Jesus eat before his perplexed disciples? Was it cereal, bread, or fish and honeycomb? According to Luke chapter 24, verse 42 and 43, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What did Jesus eat in front of his disciples? Did he eat sugar pops? Actually, if it was cereal and it was my choice, it'd be Captain Crunch peanut butter. Peanut butter crunch. That's what I like. That's just my thing. I like it. If it's Noelle, she likes more like what you like. What is that? That honeycomb or the shredded wheat thingy there or something? What do you like?
I do like honeycombs. And okay. You're talking about Wheaties?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay. I do like those. Yep.
Yeah, that'd be for her. Not for me. I'm a peanut butter Captain Crunch guy. Okay. Was it that? Was it Wonder Bread because Jesus was such a wonder? Or was it fish and honeycomb? That's your question according to Luke 24, 42, and 43, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. To the Word of God we go. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. This letter, if you're in the King James, it would say this epistle, is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. This good news was promised long ago by God through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It is the gospel about his son, Jesus, who came as a man born into King David's royal family line. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. Okie dokie. Okay, dokie. Let's just back it up. This letter is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen by God to be an apostle. In this particular reference point, you see, and Paul does this different epistles, but in this big one, he's like, you know what? You know what I am before I'm anything? Before I'm an apostle, before I'm this, before I'm that, I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. And as soon as you and I lose sight of that and that access to humility, we endanger ourselves for the opportunity of pride to step in. Look, I know we are children of the Most High God. You hear me quote 1 John 3:1-2 all the time. We are children of God. But in this capacity, as Paul is serving, the thing that he notes more than anything is that he's just a slave of the Lord. He's a servant of the Most High God. And he's proud to be a servant of the Most High God. He's proud to be a slave of God. And so am I. I am not worthy to be his kid. I'm not worthy to do anything that he has for me. He makes me worthy, but I am not worthy in and of myself, and I'm just thankful to be known. And that's what Paul is saying. This letter is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. And so it's just incredibly important. He identifies himself, by the way, Paul, as the author of the letter, which is Paul's signature. He always has his name in the letter, which is why most people do not believe Hebrews was written by Paul, because it doesn't say Paul. And the highest title that he can give is giving himself the title of a slave. Now, he recognizes he's chosen by God to be an apostle, and he's sharing the good news that was promised long ago by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is based on Jesus Christ and his redeeming work. God gave this message between Genesis and Malachi. People just didn't hear it. Did you get that? People just didn't hear the message that God gave. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to the people of God. They didn't listen to the teachers. They didn't heed the word. Even though God promised long ago, through his prophets and through the scriptures, the gospel, the good news. And if your translation says good news or gospel, it is the same word. Well, gospel sounds more religious. That's great. If you want to sound religious, do it. The gospel is good news. There is so much bad news. You can turn on any channel, go to any website, listen to any radio show that does the news, and it's bad, 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 bad. God comes into the scene with message, with prophet, with word, and what God has to say is good, 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 good. What's amazing is how it takes you back to Genesis 1, which we just taught about yesterday, and it's what is that God does? I created this, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and what is it? God saw it all, and it was what? Good. So when you have good news, you have God being active. When you have bad news, it's mankind being mankind. And that's why everything is written. Believe me, it's important to understand this. The word news is from the Greek word rumor, which everybody should be aware of. But God's good news is firm and established thousands of years in its presentation. Not thousands of seconds, because they read something off the internet. And so this good news, this gospel, this is what you get in God. You get good news. And you know what? For crying out loud, a lot of people can use some serious good news. Instead of sticking your head in the ground and trying not to pay attention to what's going on, how about you be aware of him who actually is ahead of the newspapers and who is the one that's going to declare what takes place? And he's got a message for you and I, and you know what? It's good. God is good, and his news is good. Are you getting that? I just want you to get that. All right, I'm going to give the trivia answer in a second, but I want you to get this. The good news is about Jesus Christ. Everybody tries to make Christianity, actually, everybody tries to make churchianity this big evil and blah, 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 blah. Jesus is the good news. Jesus, born as a man from King David's line. That's the good news. Oh, this is really going bad. Oh, this is hard. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is awful. Jesus. What are you trying to say, Dave? Good news. That's what that is. All right, to the trivia question. I might have asked it incorrectly, so forgive me. I think I did do that, but... what did Jesus eat before his disciples? According to Luke 24, 42, and 43, was it cereal, was it bread, or was it fish and honeycomb? And the answer is fish and honeycomb. If it was fish and bread, it would have been a fish sandwich, but that's not what it was. It was fish. Remember? Fish. Born on the day of five. Because that's when the fish came forward. Just letting you know. All right, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Or it doesn't matter if your translation says master. Rabbi. I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along on your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. On the previous trivia question, I just wanted to read the answer. The answer was, so in reference to Jesus, what did he do eating in front of his disciples? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. That was according to Luke chapter 24, verse 42 and 43. Getting ready for our next trivia question. And then we're going to go to the website because I have this big sign that says website in front of my face that I got to remember. So here's your next trivia question, and this is going to be in reference to the book of Revelation. So if you don't know it and you can look it up, great. Do not do anything that will cause you to be distracted if you're driving or anything else. What did John see in the right hand of him who sat on the throne? What did John see in the right hand of him who sat on the throne? Was it a letter, a scroll, or a star? This is Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Did John see in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a letter, a scroll, or a star? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website and tell you this. Okay? There are cool things on the website. There is not a place to win $1 million. But there are multiple things that will encourage and strengthen you. There is also a place to give. Here's my admonition. Use it. If you don't like PayPal, you don't have to use PayPal. If you like PayPal, you can use PayPal. There is a simple system to also collect the funds, another way to do it. There is a way to do a check. There's a way to do a credit card. There's a way to do it on phone. All of those are available. If you can do it, great. If you can't give, do not feel guilty or stressed. Just keep praying for us. That's what we're asking. Check all of the stuff out. Plus, there is a goofy new thing up there. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
I'm telling you, I need one of those in my head. I don't care what anybody says. I just need one of those. Actually, it needs to be coordinated right by my mouth. And then when I say something really stupid, I can just push the button and it just sucks the words back in. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Okay, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Will Rogers.
Hello, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. I hope you're a whole lot better, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and I'm doing actually really well today. I actually got some extra sleep, which I really needed, which is funny because you wouldn't think I did, but I really needed it, and I felt like almost like revived or something. It was really, really cool. So, but thank you for hoping that for me and praying that for me. It means a lot to me, okay? You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me set it up, and then you can hit it out. What did John see in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, according to Revelation 5:1? Was it a letter, a scroll, or a star?
It was a scroll.
That is correct, Mundo! It was a scroll. And what's amazing is there was only one worthy to open the scroll. That is why I just love that portion. It's just like, wow. Only Jesus can open that scroll.
Some translations say a book.
Yeah, that's true. Some translations do say that. And that's true. And back then, they didn't have books like we have. They had, like, scroll. They had roll-up books.
Right.
They were kind of stretched out kind of thing. But, yep, that's exactly correct. Good point. Good thing to say that. That is correct. That's a really good thing to say. Excellent job, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, we love you, bro.
There's one thing that's weighing on me right now
okay.
that I think should be prayed about.
Fire away.
And I just heard today that the Pope has excommunicated St. Paul for his views on women and sexual issues.
A Babylon Bee fan, are you?
No, I haven't seen the Babylon Bee.
Yeah. It's you can know the story that the Pope excommunicated the Apostle Paul, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a joke. It's not literal. It's a comedic, like The Onion came out of the Babylon Bee, but it makes the point very clear. And the point is that church is heading in the wrong direction.
Well, I tried looking it up on a website, and I found something under the Vatican that said it was true.
Now, do me a favor. Check out Babylon Bee. You'll see it's right there. They were the one that initiated the story. But if that happened, then you would know that that church direction is lost.
Well, it just goes to show the horrible situation that the world is degrading into.
Yep, It is. And what's worse is that they've pushed out some headlines on the Babylon Bee and absolutely absurd headlines. And then, like, within a month or two, they came true. It's like, no way. It's bizarre, but it happened. And it's like, it's, you just almost can't believe it. But we need to be definitely praying for this nation and for the church to stand firm in the Word of God and not in the firm of culture. That's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother. Great job.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed week.
All right. You too, my bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go back into the text. I love Will. He's a great guy. But I did. I read that the other day in Babylon Bee. It's just like they you know, they
excommunicated the Apostle Paul.
I'm just saying. It's just like, okay. Let's just leave that there. Okay, let's, and for those that don't know about the Babylon Bee, it's satire. If you read that and you think that it's true, it's a joke. Verse 4. All right, this is like the big part right here. I want to really make sure everybody gets this. Okay, I'll fail to do it justice, but I'm still going to do it. Verse 4, it says this. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it says, let me back it up, in fact. It says, this is the good news about Jesus, his son Jesus, who came as a man born in King David's royal family line. That's to indicate that he's the Messiah. Verse 4, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the greatest verses testifying to the Trinity, for those that do not understand it. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God testifies to his Son, Jesus Christ, powerfully testifies by the power of the Holy Spirit in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything you need to know about the gospel is virtually in this verse. Here it goes. God shows his power by raising the dead. We talked about the Sadducees. They couldn't even, what? What do you mean raising the dead? This is how God showed his power through Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. This is what is amazing. Jesus is declared to be 100% true, right, correct, spot on, because he resurrected. In the past, prophets would make proclamation and they would give signs and indications of their proclamation being true from God. There'll be an earthquake, there'll be this, this will happen. In this case, the proclamation is made that Jesus declares what he declares, and he's proven correct because he resurrects never to die again. So for those who do not understand, resurrection was not completely new, but resurrecting never to die again, completely new. Because that then spoke to this immortality available for mankind. That's good news. You are born. And despite what billionaires and multimillionaires think, I'm going to live forever. And they're thinking, if I can't live forever in this body, I'll transfer my mind into a computer. This is how far people have gone. Remember, the pursuit of the fountain of youth. Man just wants to live forever. Blah, 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 blah. But mankind knows inside of him, Ecclesiastes testifies to this, that mankind cannot live forever. But now, through Jesus Christ, there's a piece of news that changes the game. Through Jesus, we can live forever. That is the good news. Jesus is the good news. His life, his death, burial, and resurrection is the good news, because it was for our sake. It wasn't for God's sake. It wasn't for Jesus' sake. It wasn't for the Holy Spirit's sake. It was for you. That's who it was for. Oof, that is some good news. Right. That is gospel. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see? What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your last trivia question. What is the meaning of Barnabas? Is it son of peace, son of light, or son of encouragement? What is the meaning of Barnabas? Is it son of peace, son of light, or son of encouragement? Acts chapter 4, verse 36 is your reference point. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we will do history.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right, today is National 12-Hour Fresh Breath Day. I have no idea. It's like, what? See, there's two ways to look at that. You should have fresh breath for 12 hours a day, but then you think, maybe you should have fresh breath for 24 hours a day.
I mean, why only half the day?
I don't know. I can't figure that out. Today is also National Ambrosia Day. Ambrosia is a fruit salad usually made of pineapples, oranges, miniature marshmallows, coconut, and cream such as whipped cream, sour cream, or yogurt. Do you like ambrosia?
No.
Okay. I like that. That Watergate salad thing, that the one that's like pistachio salad, like green.
Yeah.
I like that too. It's weird. I like weird things. I can't do anything about it. For those that are listening by radio, by internet, or anything else, this is a very, very important day. In 1901, on this day, the first transatlantic radio signal was offered up. Wow. For those that are less impressed, here is 1925 on this day. The first United States motel opened up. The first U.S. motel, the Motel Inn in San Luis Obispo, California, opens.
And it was a Best Western.
I got nothing. And then finally, 1899, George F. Grant received a patent for the first Gulf tea. There you go. That's some interesting stuff right there, right? Okay. All right, trivia question, then into the teach, and then if I forget, throw the pink ping pong ball, and we're moving it along. What is the meaning of Barnabas? Is it son of peace, son of light, or son of encouragement? Your reference point, Acts 4:36, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org as we go to the Word of God. Here we are in Romans chapter 1, and we are at verse 5. So from verse 4, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the authority to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. Listen to this. This is something I think escapes people. Well, why do you witness, Dave? Well, because we're commanded. Okay, but if God knows everybody's going to be saved, why witness? Because God knows, but mankind does not. And that's the difference between free will and predestination. God knows, he's not telling. But what does witnessing for Jesus do? What happens when people get saved? And this text tells you, when they believe and obey, it brings glory to the name of God. Paul makes sure that everybody knows that God powerfully raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the Holy Spirit. That's no way to get away from that. People that try to get away from that, they're just trying to be, I don't know, prideful, weird, something. Paul concludes this introduction by saying that we've been given the privilege and the authority to tell people about the gospel. And that people who believe in Jesus glorify the name of Jesus, the name of God. They glorify God Almighty in the name of Jesus, the Father through the Son by the Spirit, which is the exact formula that works every time, everywhere, by as simple as can be. By the Son, through it's from the Father through the Son by the Spirit. It's just like, got it. Everything runs through the Son. It's all by the Spirit. Got it. When we tell people and they say yes, it brings glory to God. By their faith in Jesus, God is glorified. Do you get a notch on the belt? No. You get a notch for being obedient, but you saved nobody. You never save anybody. Only God saves. You are an instrument of what he does. In fact, truth be told, and this is something that I had a chance that Pastor Jason and I talked about yesterday, Pastor Jason Collins of Crossroads in Rowlett. Look, this is his doing. This is his stuff. He does this. We get to participate. We're just fortunate to be able to partner with God. You don't save anybody. I don't. We don't. Nobody gets. We don't save anybody. We just do and partner in with the Lord. And everybody that gets saved, that brings glory to the name of Jesus Christ and honor to the Father. I was like, that's just cool. That's what the purpose is. It's not just in obedience, but it also glorifies God. Does it always work? No. But let me ask you this question. When you witness to somebody and they don't get saved, do you say, well, I shall never witness again? No, you never say that. You're always open to the Lord using you. And when you pray for people and they don't get healed, do you say, I will never pray for healing again? No, you don't use that. You don't do that. You are always open to the Lord using you. No difference. Just keep doing it. Paul opens this intro. There's more in this intro, but I don't have time to dive into it. Starting off saying he's a slave, acknowledging that the good news is Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead, because the good news is good news. And it's good to know you can live forever. God demonstrates Jesus' words as being true by raising him from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that everybody we have the privilege and authority to share with, when they say yes, it brings honor to the Lord. Get that? That's a lot of cool stuff. Now, we will close out the trivia. That's our first intro, by the way, to Romans. So I think it's kind of cool. By asking this question, what is the meaning of Barnabas? Is it son of peace, son of light, or son of encouragement? Acts chapter 4, verse 36. In this case, and in every case, Barnabas means son of encouragement, because he had a great gift and capacity to encourage even those that people were afraid of. In fact, it was Barnabas that tracked down Paul and brought him to the disciples. That guy got the right spirit. All right, folks, that's the show. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself. I go down to the jail of my soul. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.